How are you doing? That's good. Good. I know you can't speak because of my gun, but I see all the smiles and everything. So that's good to see everybody. Of course, we're going to be going through Genesis, starting out this year here. And all the men, Richard, Scott, and Henry, we're all going to be participating. And we're gonna, believe it or not, we're making an attempt just to go through the whole Bible book by book. So it's going to be a lengthy thing. It's not going to be like some of the books you buy where it says read the Bible in a year, and you put like Jeremiah here, the Genesis here, and then the New Testament here. And we're going to go book by book, and we're going to definitely do our best to be inspired by God to just teach from His Word and just watch God bring everything together. So it's going to be a great and exciting time just doing that, you know. So looking forward to going through that. Today I have the privilege of, I'm actually going to be in Genesis 25. But actually, I'm going to read a piece out of Genesis 24. I don't know about you, but when I start reading scripture, I kind of want to go back and say, how did we get here? You know, like, well, how did we get this? Well, I need to understand what's kind of going on. But this morning, we're going to talk about keeping the promise. And keeping the promise definitely involves making decisions. And we need to be aware of the decisions that we make. We know that God made a promise to Abram, who became Abraham. But Abraham also had to make a promise to God, believe it or not, and everybody else, that that they would trust God and that they would go on this mission that God has for them, on this journey God has for them. And I think that applies to us. You know, when we all went through our studies and, you know, we got to see scriptures for ourselves and we got to study scriptures and we got to really meditate, think hard about what's coming at us so much, real fast. But, you know, after heavy just meditation on God's word and a lot of conversations, we here made a decision to say that Jesus was Lord. And we said, okay, all right, Jesus, we're going to go on this mission with you, and we're going to see what life brings. And I think it's one of the great things about Genesis. I feel like as you get older, my mother, I love speaking to my mom, a great wise woman, little woman to me. But she said, you know, as you get older, you get weaker, but you also get wiser. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. She says the body begins to deteriorate. But for those who invest their mind and their heart and soul in God, you get more wiser. You begin to understand the Bible with much more clarity. And I thought that is so true. And so when you look at Genesis and you look at Abraham's life, you look at their lives, it's like, you're just looking at their life, the life that they live. We see a lot of things where it like it happened so fast, but really that was a journey for them, all the years that they lived and everything. So just excited to go through this about talking about the promise that he had to keep to be the first patriarch that God chose. And then all his kids were going to be nominated to continue that going. What an honor, but what a serious, I should say, a privilege. But what a, I don't know if it's a burden, but what a thing to carry with you, knowing that you're part of God's plan to just really just change the world, change lives. But I'm going to read some things here. I had the time to study it, and I love that, having the time to study and research and pray and allow God to just really get in your thoughts and things. But I'm over here reading some. I got a lot of notes that I wrote down, some that I took from some other places. But what I'm going to be saying, we make a lot of decisions every day. And though we think that some decisions are more important than others, they all leave a mark and leave an impression. Some decisions we have made, they've been positive. They've left positive impressions. And some other decisions that we made, they've left negative marks and negative impressions. So whatever decisions we have made or are planning to make, let's remember, it will leave a mark on somebody, someone, or something that we do. Now, God's man, Abram, who became Abraham, accepted God's calling for his life and took a leap of faith and began his journey as the first patriarch of God's covenant blessing. But if you dial back and look at what God did, just from three important men in the Bible, Adam was actually the beginning of God's plan. And we know that didn't go too well. And so Noah became God's cleansing. God said, okay, we're going to cleanse the earth. We're going to We're going to scrap the board. We're going to erase everything. We're going to scrap the drawing board, and we're going to start over. And so Abraham is his rebuilding, is his new covenant going forward. And so Abraham was seed that was being planted. From that seed, you and I would come to be. His decision was a life-changing decision that was sending ripples into the future, far ahead of him. So I ask you this, what decisions will you make in 2021 that will send ripples into the future, far ahead of you? Because you will be making some decisions. Some will be on the spot, and some will be planned. But what decisions will you make going into 2021 that will send ripples far ahead of you? You know, I think about my son, and I think about, you know, with my grandson, and then I think about the other grandparents, and it has been a tumultuous 2 years, and it has taken a lot of work, a lot of prayer, you know, a lot of work. I wish I just could just pray and say, God, you just do it and fix it, but I've had to really get involved. But I'm seeing things turn around. I'm seeing good news coming out of that. I'm seeing unity from both sides of the grandparents, so us working together. I'm seeing, you know, just working through the conversation with, you know, Bryce and, you know, see Gerardo, the baby mom. And, you know, even me and Bryce having a conversation, I'm seeing him maturing. He's making some decisions that's going to, I believe, it's going to be better for him and everybody going forward. You know, but those were just decisions I made in the past to really get involved and be there through the good, the bad, the ugly, the upset, the attitude, the feelings, the don't like you, everything. But here I am almost 2.5 years later, and I'm starting to see some positivity. The decisions you make are important going forward. They are so important. And they may not develop now or bring about what you're looking for now, but you never know. 2.5 years later, you may begin to see God's just blessing and God's answer come to fruition. What decisions did you make in 2020 that left a mark? How many were faith-based decisions versus I feel it in my gut? I don't know if any of us are like that, but we know people like say, I feel it in my gut, man. I feel it in my gut. But a lot of our decisions need to be based on faith going forward. And faith just requires trusting that God has already worked it out and will reveal the outcome of that decision in due time. Or is your decision based on, I feel it in my heart? You know, we're notorious for that too. We have to be careful of that. You know, we have to be careful of that. You feel a lot of things in our heart, but wisdom should always reign the day. Should always reign the day. You know, like Abraham, all of our decisions up to this point in our lives have all not been good. But God treats us like Abraham, and that is a blessing. Why? Because he extends us grace and expects us to do better going forward. Gotta love that about God. Treats us like Abraham. A lot of grace, but he expects us to do better going forward. Even by the mistakes that we made. We're gonna start at Genesis 24, chapter 1 here. And I just wanted to open up this just to really just help us understand about keeping a promise is about really being mindful of the decisions we're gonna make going forward. And over in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hands under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife. You and I get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country he came from? He said, the country you came from? He says, make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring, I will give this land. He will send his angels before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hands under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Wow. I'm just stop there. So Abraham's old, need to find a wife for Isaac. The point here we want to talk about is the promise goes forward. If you realize, the servant is willing to do whatever Abraham told him to do, but he says, what if the woman does not want to leave her land, her family, her community, everything that she knows, and come back to me? Then shall I just take Isaac back to to the country you came from? Because they're basically like, well, you got relatives over there, so we can take Isaac back there. But Abraham reminded him, he said, no. The promise does not go backwards. God made a promise that he was going to give me land, that he was going to bless my descendants, that they were going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the beach. From a human perspective, for us, there's too many to count. But he was reminding him, he says, no, whatever you do, do not go backwards. We must go forward regardless of the challenges that we face. Maria, you gotta ask yourself, doing well in the American state here. During our lives, you know, we face many obstacles. We deal with many adversities, and we encounter multiple challenges in our life. Some obstacles have made us want to turn back. Adversities have made us seek to avoid conflict, and challenges have made us not want to deal with them. Abraham knew the importance of the promise going forward. Do you know how important it is for the promise to go forward in your life? We all sometimes want to go back. There's not a person here who does not hate dealing with pain, especially if you see it coming. You just do not want to deal with it. But God has designed life that you and I should be going forward. And if you're like me, you want pain to go away. I was sharing with my daughter, and I think I'll share with Chris Kobeck, to say, you know, for the last 2 years and 3 months, I have been in that hospital. I counted 5 times. I have been sick and dealing with it. You name it, it's good. Yeah, I mean, you name it, it's there. Something like that, it's there. And, you know, the pain just hits me. And I was outside yesterday. Chris is over here. We're doing the yard. And I was like, well, let me get my blower out. And then the blower went down. I was like, what's happening with my blower? So I'm going to get this lawn mower. And I see my neighbor over there who's 70. And him and his wife, they just walk circles around me. I'm always like, Lord, I need to be moving like that. They are 70 years old. And they just move. And so I'm out there with Chris. And I think I pushed the lawn mower maybe a little bit. I was like, oh, I got to stop. I started feeling pains in my hip, my left side, my back. And I'm like, what is going on, man? And I'm walking around limping. Chris is just happy and serving. He's got that big old ring. And I'm like, I like that ring. He said, yeah, you know, my dad bought it. My dad said, we get rid of all these wire rings. We don't use those things no more. And I mean, he did part of my yard so fast. I'm like, wow. He's like, yeah, I'm getting that ring, my 2 or 3 of them. I would be in Lowe's or Home Depot buying me a ring. But you know, that pain, I wanted it to go away. That pain stayed with me all day, all night, and even to this morning, and it's starting to subside. You know, pain, just don't want to deal with pain. But I'm so glad that Chris was there, because if I had to buy myself, that lawnmower would have been left in the front yard, sitting there all night. You know, do you know the importance, do you know how important it is for the promise to go forward, regardless, I mean, in your life, and that's regardless of pain that you deal with, you know. Turning back is a bad decision. It's a bad decision. I'm glad I didn't stop. I'm glad that Chris was going. I'm glad that I figured out a way to work through my pain. I had to go take a break a couple of times, but I worked through it and got some bags and helped bag up some stuff and carry some stuff. But, you know, turning back would have been a bad decision. It just would have been just more on Chris. I know he's younger, but more on him. And I'd have been feeling bad. So, you know, we got to realize that, you know, the promise goes forward, and we need to be focused on that. You know, finishing the race that you started moves the promise forward and honors God's wishes for you. You got to remember that. Not only are you living out this promise, embracing this promise, but it honors God that you are a man or woman of your word, that you're committed. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how painful it gets, you're willing to see this to the end. You're willing to honor the promise by seeing this life to the end. Ask yourself, will you continue to be a promise keeper? Or are you going to break your promise? We know many of friends who were disciples who have, you know, checked out. You know, you have the conversation with them. They say they're doing things, but you know, you look at their lives and you realize that they're way out there. They're out of bounds. You know, they're not in the right place or good place. But like you and I, we just pray and we like, you know, they have to really appreciate grace and hopefully they take advantage of grace and get right with God. But will you continue to be a promise keeper? What obstacles, adversities, and challenges are you looking forward to overcoming this year? And yes, the key word is looking forward. I don't think nobody's looking forward to any obstacles. We just want everybody to do right on our jobs, in the church, in the family, in the community, in the neighborhood. We just want people to do right. But we know people will be people. How do we know that? COVID is a sign. COVID is a sign. We are not the only ones that are like, I want out of this COVID, I want to just live. Are you looking forward to the adversities? There will be some this year. There will be some adversities. Are you looking forward to the challenges? There will be some. Abraham had many challenges in his life, but he kept moving the promise forward. He would not go back. Be a promise keeper and move the promise forward. Guys, we're going to go on verse 25. Not verse, I'm sorry, chapter 25. So, you know, Abraham has had that discussion with his servant. We move a little further here in chapter 25, and it says in verse 1, it says, Abraham had taken another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Ashurites, the Letushites, and the Lemumites. It says the sons of Midian, were Ephah, Ephur, Hanak, Abidah, and Eldaah. It says all these were descendants of Keturah. It says Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. But while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac as the land of son Isaac to the land of the east. Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good age. An old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar, the Hittites, the field Abraham had brought from the Hittites. Then Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai-Roi. Second point, don't lose sight of the promise. Don't lose sight of the promise. You know, in our lifetime, we have experienced countless moments of joy, excitement, and pleasure. Many of these experiences have clouded our view of what's really important. We have all had our attention pulled away from the cross, the mission, and yes, God's promise. You know, you look at Abraham here. Sarah has long passed away. Abraham made the point to find Isaac a wife. But Abraham himself had another wife and had some other kids. And I don't know if you know them, but when you have other kids, or if you know some other kids, you can tend to focus more on those other kids than your child from a previous marriage. But Abraham knew that it was important that he had to protect the promise going forward, to make sure that his focus would not get distracted, or he would forget that Isaac is very important to God's plan moving the promise forward. So he loved his other kids. He gave them a lot of gifts, but he sent them off and away and everything with his blessings. But the promise was meant to go to Isaac. He never lost sight of the promise. He never lost sight of the discussion that him and God had, that everything was to go from him to Isaac. This is, even though Abraham had more kids, he made it a point to not lose sight of God's plan for the future. And the future went through Isaac. Are you losing sight of God's plan for you? That can happen. Are you losing sight of God's plan for you? Is the mission no longer fun for you? Some of us have been around a long time. I had a brother who reached out to me and he said, Happy New Year's. And I sent that brother back a message and I said, Brother, thank you so much. And I said, you are a seed planter and a missionary. Because this was the brother that God used to reach out to me over 26 years ago. I was like, wow, I remember this brother. He used to send him, Happy New Year's, hope you're doing well. I was like, man, Happy New Year, seed planter. You planted the seed. You was coming to my house when I was a young man, inspiring to have a young rap career. I was going to be the next big rapper in the world doing music. This guy don't even like rap music. Didn't like it at the time or nothing. He was just coming around trying to reach out to a buddy of mine who was my partner in crime trying to do rap. He never was able to convert my buddy, but he converted me. And he would come and sit there 8 hours all the time listening to music he don't like. But he was the one that planted seed. Man. And I think, wow, that reminded me, you know, the mission is still fun. I'm reminded of the sacrifice that this guy made. Who knew that what he planted years ago would be life-changing? You know, is the cross meaningless to you? You know, sometimes we can feel like that. We feel like the cross does not have the power that it used to have. We can feel like that. Because sometimes we don't see the cross having that effect in other people's lives that it had in my life. But you know what? I think the cross has a very important impact in our lives. Because we're all still here. We're all still faithful. We're all still strong. We're still holding in the row. We're still standing in the boat. It has a big impact. Does the promises of God not register with you? You know, we've all been there where we pray, God, you need to do something now. We like to see that promise happen now. We'd like to see you say yes now. We'd like to see you do something now. I'm willing to take a parting of the Red Sea, God. I'm willing to take a manna falling out the sky, God. I'm willing to take a Daniel in the lion's den. I'll take anything you can do right now. You know, we don't see those things. Sometimes we feel like the promises don't register. But they do. They do register. And just like Abraham, they take time. They will happen over time in our life. Happen over a course of time in our lives. You know, to not lose sight of the mission, the cross, and the promises of God, you must make a decision to throw off everything this year and anything from last year that is hindering you daily in your heart, your mind, your soul. You have to depart from some things. You have to let a lot of things go if you don't want to lose sight of the mission that God is planting in your heart, of the power of the cross that still exists, and of the promises that were here long before you and I were born into this earth. What will you remove from your plate going into 2021? What will you remove? Some of us know Justin Crenshaw. I don't know if you follow him on Facebook. I am amazed at this young man, but he is a vegan true and true right now in his life. And he's doing all these weird push-ups. Push-ups that I used to see back when I used to do boot camp. It was in a much better condition physically back then. Only a few of you guys know that. And you remember I was going through boot camp. I was like, wow, I could do 100 push-ups like it was nothing. But Justin is like Park City. He's doing these crazy push-ups. I remember Chris made one of the archers. Now he does one where he puts his hands behind his, like by his waist. He puts them backwards. And he does push-ups. And I'm like, that is wow. That is something. So I'm just waiting for him. I know he's been, you know, doing away with a lot of meat, a lot of things. He's really been committed to this. And I'm just kind of waiting for him to do the push-up where his feet are not on the ground. He just pushes his body up. And I've seen people do that. And I'm like, that is just amazing. But, you know, to get to where he got to, he had to take a lot of things off his plate, Devin Henry. What are you going to take off your plate going into 2021 so that you can keep the promise? The promises of God. So that you can see the promises of God. So that you can enjoy the promises of God. So that you can just be successful. What are you going to remove from your plate? What actions will you take so that you will not lose sight of God's promises? You know, Abraham lived an amazing life. Made several mistakes, but Abraham did great. He did great. Abraham did great because he stayed faithful to God regardless of all the things that he faced. Finally, guys, we're going to wrap it up here with the promise is not for the famous or the perfect person. You know, we're in this Western world, but we're in the world of self. And sometimes we look at our life, we look at other people and all that they have, and you're like, because they're famous, life is good. Sometimes we look at people, we're like, man, they make it sound like they're just so perfect and they got everything together and they have nothing wrong. But I found out a lot of times that people who want you to think they're perfect, they have issues just like us, sometimes a lot worse than what we have. And they just want to look so good, you know, but it's not that. The promise is not for them, but the promise for the imperfect. You know, I look at Isaac, you know, and Isaac, he was the son of a famous father, Abraham. And he was the father to a famous son, Jacob. Jacob, who later became what? Israel. He became the name of... Wouldn't that be great if your name was the name of a nation? The nation of Gloria. The nation of Scott. The nation of Judah. Wouldn't it be like, man, hey, they named after me. I'm a nation throughout the world. That would just be amazing, wouldn't it? Some people say, well, I don't know about that. You know, depending on how they're living in my name, you know, they might not be living right. But that's what it's like. His son would be the name of a nation. That is something else, you know. But to Isaac's point, he lived longer than both of them. He lived longer than both Abraham and Jacob. You know, but God only dedicated only 6 chapters of his life in the Bible. But it was 6 important chapters. Isaac, you know, he didn't like confrontation. Some of us know about that. He didn't like confrontation. And he didn't travel far from home. Isaac was a living part of the divine plan that produced the Jewish nation and gave us the Bible. And brought Jesus Christ into the world. Isaac wasn't famous. He was different. But no matter how different we are in each generation, we have to find ourselves and be ourselves. We are born equal, but different. Discovering our uniqueness and using it to the glory of God is the challenge that makes life what it is. God says, why be a cheap imitation? You can be a valuable original. We're going to read in chapter, we'll stand to a 5. We'll read this final verse here about Jacob and Esau. Verse 19, it says, this is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. It said, Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Arameen, from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban of Arameen. It said, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went and inquired of the Lord. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. The two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. the first to come out was a red, the first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boy grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of the red stew. I'm famished." This is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Wow. You know, I did a lot of research on this. And one thing I learned about this, some of the historian scholars, they call Jacob, when his name is the deceiver. I was like, oh, Lord, you know, deceiving the brother. And Esau's name, what they call Edom, is impulsive, just very impulsive, impatient, impulsive, anxious. And Jacob took advantage of that. Man, he took advantage of it, showing his imperfection, his shining in all his glory. He took advantage of that, you know, and he used that against Esau. But Esau, if he would have not been impulsive, so anxious and hairy, he really would have understood the value of his birthright and being the oldest. But he put food about it. And so Jacob sold his birthright. But it goes back to what God told him. God had told him. Jacob's going to be first. God foreseen that this was going to happen between Jacob and Esau. But also what I learned here about just imperfect people, parenting. Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. Ain't that something? And he stayed at home. And our word today, we say the man need to be out working, doing stuff on the evil, up in the house, up on their mom and everything, group that way. But guess what? Scripture shows, long before we was fussing about that, who was up under their mama? Jacob. Whereas Isaac, like, I love Esau. He's out in the open country. He's hunting. That's a man. Yeah, he bring food. I love it. You know, it just shows that long before we came into the world, there were parents showing favoritism to kids. We learn a lot. We learn a lot of the imperfection of being here. But you know, it goes on to just show that even when we're imperfect, God still includes you in his perfect plan, his divine plan, his promise to move the promise forward. You know, with all your imperfections, do you believe God can use you? Oh, we got tons of them. We are loaded. Some we don't want to discuss. We want God like, hey, can you just scratch that off? You know, can you pull a Noah? We just cleanse that all out, you know. You know, I know that when I became a disciple, I know that my slate was clean. But now that I'm a disciple, so many years later, it can be this kind of like a Noah in my life moment. Just cleanse that board clean and let's start fresh. But you know what God says, even through your imperfection, he says, I can use you. And he says, like Abraham and like Isaac, and especially like Jacob, he says, I'm willing to give you a second chance, multiple second chances. I just need you to do better going forward. I just need you to do better going forward. To be a better example of what the promise is supposed to look like. To be a better example of how exciting the mission is. To be a great example of, wow, the cross is worth carrying. You know, with your imperfection, you need to know that God loves you. You really need to know that. You need to believe that. You need to embrace that. With your imperfection, God loves you. He does. And God creates multiple opportunities for you to do better. He creates multiple opportunities for you to overcome. He creates multiple opportunities for you to take joy in this life that you're living. You know, with all your imperfection, know that God has a plan for you. He does. He has a plan for you. And the plan begins with God says, I give you the freedom to live your life. I only have one rule. Just institute my will in your life. Live your life according to my will. But go and make a mark. Make some great marks in this life. Make some great impressions in this life. Do not allow the negative impressions to cause you to turn back or slow down or second guess yourself. But instead, know that my plan for you is meant for you to go forward. You have new obstacles to overcome. You have new adversities to overcome. You have new challenges to conquer. Know that God loves you. Know that God has a plan for you and family. Remember, you are the right person for the promise. Why is that? Because God chose you. That's why. You are the right person for the promise. Because God chose you. You are the right person to bear the cross. Because God says you can and He is with you. You are the right person to live out the mission. Because God says, although I created you equal, you are different. And I need you to have an impact on the world. Guys, let's be men and women who will keep the promise, who will push the promise forward, who will not lose sight of the promise, and who will remember that it's the imperfect people that God wants, not the famous, not the perfect, but the imperfect people. Thank you so much, guys, for making time to hear me out this morning. To our God be the glory. Amen.